Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Vanessa Dunhut Garmo filling in today, Tuesday, for Teresa Tomeo, who continues her pilgrimage in the Holy Land with Steve Ray. She'll be back next week. I'll be back on the air Thursday and Friday. Sherry will be on the air tomorrow. And Teresa, I'm sure she might be joining me on the air Thursday or Friday with Steve Ray again to give us an update about the pilgrimage. We'll see. God willing, she'll be on. We'd love to hear from her again. Joining us this hour, Steve Hemler is the author of Search No More, The Keys to Truth and Happiness. He's the president of the Catholic Apologetics Institute of North America. He'll be joining us this morning to talk about that. And then Vinnie Flynn, author of Mass and Adoration Companion, will be joining us to talk about that. And how do you prep for Mass? How do you really take the time out to prepare you and your family before you head into Mass? And how important is adoration? Do you engage in adoration with your family? So we'll be talking with Vinnie Flynn about that as well. And as I like to always do, I always like to search for news stories. I love going to EWTN and finding out what's going on. And I share a lot of the stories on my own social media, my communications evangelist Facebook page, and on Twitter. And I think it's really important that we use this opportunity, these platforms, as I've said it before. Find a story. I challenge all of you to find a story on a daily basis and share it on social media. Go to EWTN. Find a story that interests you. There's a ton of news on there, whether you're sharing a blog or story from somewhere around the world, in the U.S., whether you're sharing a video, a show that taped. This is our way, all of our opportunities to evangelize the faith and share with people news about what's going on in the world from a Catholic perspective, what's going on in the Catholic Church. So a story that I'm going to share this morning that came out a couple days ago. It's a couple days old, but it's still worth sharing because it's still in the news today, and people are still talking about it, and I'm going to mention this in the news segment as well. But I wanted to read this to you about McCarrick. Pope Francis and the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith ordered this week the laization of Theodore McCarrick, a former cardinal and Archbishop Emeritus of Washington, a once powerful figure in the ecclesiastical, diplomat, and political circles in the U.S. and around the world. The decision followed an administrative process conducted which found McCarrick guilty of solicitation in the sacrament of confession and sins against the sixth commandment with minors and with adults with the aggravating factor of the abuse of power. That's according to a February 16 Vatican communication. The conviction was made following an administrative process, which is a much abbreviated penal mechanism used in cases in which the evidence is so clear that a full trial is unnecessary. Because Pope Francis personally approved the guilty verdict and the penalty of laization, it is formally impossible for the decision to be appealed. According to a statement from the Vatican on February 16, the decree finding McCarrick guilty was issued on January 11th and followed by an appeal, which was rejected by the CDF on February 13th. McCarrick was notified of the decision on the 15th, and Pope Francis has recognized the definitive nature of this decision made in accord with law, rendering it admitting of no further recourse. And the Catholic News Agency contacted this week McCarrick's canonical advocate who declined to comment on the case. McCarrick, who's 88 years old, was publicly accused last year of sexually abusing at least two adolescent boys and of engaging for decades in coercive sexual behavior towards priests and seminarians. The allegations were first made public in June of 2018 when the Archdiocese of New York reported that it had received a credible allegation that McCarrick sexually abused a teenage boy in the 1970s while serving as a New York priest. The same month, McCarrick stepped down from all public ministry at the direction of the Holy See. In July, Pope Francis accepted his resignation from the College of Cardinals, according to McCarrick, to a life of prayer and penance, pending the completion of the analytical process concerning allegations. Since the end of September, McCarrick has been residing at the St. Fidelis Capuchin Friary in Victoria, Kansas. Key among McCarrick's accusers is James Green, who gave evidence before specially deputized archdiocesan officials in New York on December 27th. As part of the CDF's investigation, Green testified that McCarrick, a family friend, sexually abused him over a period of years, beginning when he was just 11 years old. He also alleged that McCarrick carried out some of the abuse during the sacrament of confession, itself a separate crime that can lead to the penalty of laicization. The CDF has also reportedly received evidence from an additional alleged victim of McCarrick 13 at the time of the alleged abuse began, and from as many as 8 seminarian victims in New Jersey, Diocese of Newark, where McCarrick previously served as bishop. An emeritus Archbishop of Washington, D.C., and before the Bishop of and the Archbishop of Newark, McCarrick occupied a place of prominence in the U.S. Church. He was also a leading participant in the development of the 2002 Dallas Charter and the USCCB Essential Norms, which established procedures for handling allegations of sexual abuse concerning priests. Wow, how ironic is that? Through being laicized, McCarrick does not cease to be a bishop, sacramentally speaking, since once conferred, the sacrament of ordination and episcopal consecration cannot be undone. The penalty of reduction from the clerical state, often called laicization, prevents McCarrick from referring to himself or functioning as a priest in public or private. Since ordination imparts a sacramental character, it cannot be undone by an act of the church. But following this process, he's stripped of all of his rights and privileges of a cleric, including, in theory, the right to receive financial support from the church. And I know this is a tough story. This is on EWTM. And the reason I recommend to share something like this is because the church has been under attack, as you know, for not handling these sexual abuse cases properly. And this is showing that the church did the right thing in this case with McCarrick. And we need to show the public that our church is taking control of a situation as devastating as this, as horrific as this, and doing the right thing to right the church and set us on the right path. And this needed to be done. Absolutely needed to be done. I know Teresa shared this on her Facebook page. That's where I saw it, and then I have shared it on my social media platforms. I'll put it on my communications evangelist page as well. But you know, like I said, I think we're all called to find stories, positive and those that are tough like this one, and share it with others in the world and our social media platforms, which were, you know, it's a great, good thing to have that we do have these platforms. I know there's wonderful things about social media and not so wonderful things, but this gives us an opportunity, to share, stories about our faith, you know, So I recommend that you share this on your social media as well, or find other stories on a daily basis on EWTN to share as well, and stories on the faith and what's going on, how we can evangelize the faith, stories going on in the world, and right here at home in the United States. And now it's time for the news at 8 minutes past the hour. The Archbishop of New York is reacting to the expulsion of a former high-ranking cardinal from the priesthood. Cardinal Timothy Dolan said removing former Washington, D.C. Archbishop Theodore McCarrick was the right thing to do. Dolan said no one involved in abuse should be given sanctuary, even a cardinal of the church. McCarrick was defrocked over the weekend after the Vatican found him guilty of sexually abusing minors. Cardinal Dolan feels there will be others who will be held accountable for covering up sex abuse from decades ago. A powerful storm that slammed into California on Sunday will march across the U.S. over the next 2 to 3 days. Forecasters say it'll bring heavy snow, driving rain, and possibly paralyzing ice to parts of 39 of the lower 48 states, including every state east of the Mississippi River. It moves into the central U.S. today, spreading heavy snow, ice, and treacherous travel conditions. the southeast can expect heavy rain with a chance of flooding and severe thunderstorms. The vice president of San Diego's National Border Patrol Council believes a better barrier on the U.S.-Mexico border would keep out smugglers. Agent Joshua Wilson says smugglers took down some older barriers near Campo, then drove through it earlier this month.
This type of fencing isn't buried into the ground. It doesn't have a concrete foundation, and it can be pulled down by a large vehicle.
Wilson also says a separate group of smugglers and illegal immigrants were captured last Thursday after cutting through a similar fence and getting stuck in the mud. He believes a more secure style fence will completely stop smugglers. President Donald Trump issued an emergency declaration to build more fence on the U.S. Mexican border last week. President Trump is addressing the political unrest in Venezuela. In Miami yesterday, President Trump said military leaders in Venezuela have a clear choice, back the opposition leaders as the legitimate president of Venezuela or face consequences.
You will find no safe harbor, no easy exit, and no way out. You will lose everything.
President Trump called embattled President Nicolas Maduro a Cuban puppet who won't even allow aid to enter the country to feed people. President Trump highlighted the rampant corruption and human rights violation in Venezuela and said Venezuelans will be free under a new administration. The president said warned of the dangers of socialism and said Maduro's administration did nothing but encroach on the rights of well-being of Venezuelan citizens. He also said the days of socialism are numbered. Senator Bernie Sanders is throwing his hat back in the ring, announcing his 2020 presidential bid. The Vermont Independent broke the news in an interview airing the morning on Vermont Public Radio.
I think what a president has got to do is bring our people together, not divide us up. And that's certainly one reason I'm running. And the second reason is, we began the political revolution in the 2016 campaign, and now it's time to move that revolution forward.
It's the second attempt at winning the White House for the 77-year-old who made clear he's running to oppose President Trump and to enact progressive ideals like universal health care, $15 minimum wage, and student debt reduction. An Alabama woman who traveled to Syria and joined ISIS wants to come home. Hoda Mudana spoke to The Guardian in Syria.
I thought I was doing things correctly for the sake of God. And when I came here and I saw everything with my own eyes, I realized that I made a big mistake. And I know I ruined my future and my son's future, and I'm deeply, deeply regretting.
According to the report, Mudana was captured by Kurdish forces and is now in refugee camps in northern Syria with her 18-month-old son. Mudana joined the extremist group in 2013 after lying to her family and telling them she was leaving on a school trip. A Kurdish commander is calling for around 1,500 international troops to stay in Syria to fight remaining ISIS forces. Mazlum Kobani, head of the Syrian Democratic Forces fighting in that war-torn country, also said this week that he hopes the U.S. reconsiders its plans for a complete withdrawal. The U.S.-backed Kurdish fighters are almost done retaking land seized by ISIS over the past few years, but thousands of fighters remain loyal to ISIS and will likely launch a guerrilla war. The U.S. military is still moving forward with President Trump's order to pull out. Too much smoking can lead to poor vision. Phil Hewlett has the details.
A Rutgers University study found that cigarettes consist of compounds that can decrease activity in an area of the brain that processes vision. The study also found that people who smoked heavily had a harder time deciphering colors than people who smoked less. Phil Hewlett, NBC News Radio.
It is 14 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo here on Catholic Connection, filling in for my dear friend Teresa Tamio on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land with Steve Ray. When we come back, we'll be talking with Steve Hemler, author of Search No More, The Keys to Truth and Happiness. We will be right back.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruise, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's 2 coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you have a mid to large size business and are looking for a full service marketing and advertising company? Geektown USA is making the challenging world of digital much simpler to understand. It's always good to have a geek on your side, so let us help you with your branding, website, and digital marketing. Visit geektownusa.com, and when you contact us, mention Ave Maria Radio. Geektown USA, where creative marketing meets smart technology. Visit geektownusa.com today.
How do you make your love's heart beat faster during Valentine's month? Buy a new car or truck while the deals are sweet. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during Ram Truck Month, you can lease a new 2019 Ram 4x4 Bighorn for only $239 per month. Ram was just awarded the Motor Trend Truck of the Year for the second time. Come in and see 70 that we have in stock only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo. With the pleasure of filling in for Teresa Tamio today and talking with us this morning, joining us here on the show, Steve Hemler, author of Search No More, The Keys to Truth and Happiness, right here on Catholic Connection. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. I'm glad to be on the show with you.
So tell me, Steve, you know, what is the book, this book, Search No More? What does it entail? What is it about?
Okay, it's aimed at drawing people who are seeking more in life. You know, there's something not right in their life. They're not totally happy, and they aren't sure why. And it's meant to help draw them into the church. It builds on Augustine's point, you know, that everybody is very well aware of, that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. And so it makes the case that in Jesus and his church is found the happiness that we're searching for and the fulfillment that we're searching for in life.
Mm-hmm.
Author Mike Aquilina, has called it a Summa for the Seeker. So it actually is a book that goes through several of the key truths of the faith as well, you know, about Jesus. How do we know he's the divine Son of God who really rose from the dead? And then it looks at these intellectual questions about salvation and why we need the church, especially with what's going on in the church today. This issue is becoming more important. And so it basically is addressed at those people who believe in God but don't go to church. They maybe consider themselves spiritual but not religious, or they believe but they don't belong. And so we all know a lot of people like this. So it's an attempt to try to help people find what they're searching for in life in Jesus and the church. As Jesus told Peter, you know, he gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven to Peter and the church. And so those are the keys to truth and happiness.
What inspired you to write this book?
Yeah, good story. Okay. It's actually my second book. The first book that was published also by St. Benedict Press and Tan Books is The Reality of God, The Layman's Guide to Scientific Evidence for the Creator. So that book goes through the rest of the story on how science actually supports belief in God. And it goes through the scientific evidence of God's existence. It talks about evolution, creation, and the church view that those are compatible, that they're in harmony with one another. And then also it looks at the human evidence of God's existence. Within human nature, there's evidence of God's existence. So that book is aimed at people who have doubts about God's existence. And then the second book builds on that. And now that we've, you know, seen that there's strong evidence for believing in God, well, then why go to church? So these actually came about. I have an apologetics ministry called the Catholic Apologetics Institute of North America. I live in Culpeper, Virginia, and I do apologetics presentations all around, mostly the Mid-Atlantic area, but I've been into Kentucky and Tennessee and Florida and different places. And I've been doing this since 2011, and these apologetics presentations cover these same big questions. How do we know God exists, evolution, Jesus' divinity, why go to church, how are we saved, why would a loving God allow evil, pain, and suffering? So I was asked by Catholic Distance University to prepare some online seminars dealing with these topics for their new certificate in apologetics. They have a continuing education certificate in apologetics. So after I did the first one on the scientific and human evidence of God's existence, I had written up the speaker notes from the PowerPoint presentations that I've been giving since actually 2005 when we lived in Saudi Arabia. That's a whole other story.
Wow.
That's to our book. Church there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Excuse me?
I said, that's probably another book.
Yeah, yeah. People are surprised, you know. But we had a parish, we had Mass, and we had CCD.
Really? In Saudi Arabia?
Yeah. In fact, our whole family's going back there in a couple of weeks.
Okay, I got to talk to you about that.
We really,
yeah. Wow, that's an interesting story. That's another conversation. I want to hear about that one day.
Yeah. Anyway, we developed these presentations, these PowerPoint and video-based apologetics presentations when we were over in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
For our confirmation program and for adult education. And then I had been giving them for years at the catechetical conference in Dubai, standing room only. And so then I took early retirement in 2011 to follow this calling to serve God in the church full time and reach a greater audience with these presentations. And then, like I said, Catholic Distance University asked me to do these online seminars. They're 3 weeks long. And they're totally online for this certificate in apologetics. And when I had written up the lectures, 3 weeks of lectures for the first one on the evidence of God's existence, I had 50 pages of stuff typed up, and I said, well, why not make a book? And
yeah.
It was never my intent to do this first book, The Reality of God. And so then St. Benedict Press did publish that. And so this second book, Search No More, The Keys to Truth and Happiness, is based on three seminars that I've done for them. Again, you know, I took the seminars and led into a book on making the case for Christ, how are we saved, the Catholic view of salvation, and why do we need the church? Being spiritual is not enough. So the books are linked to the PowerPoint presentations, which, you know, led to the seminars, which, you know, now here we are with the books.
Does the feedback from the people at the seminars help with the content you put in the book as well?
Yes, it absolutely does. In fact, I'm working on, I did a seminar for them last summer, Why Would a Loving God Allow Evil, Pain, and Suffering? That was the first one. It's the first time we've offered that one. And there were over 50 people in the class. And my next book, which St. Benedict Press Handbooks is also interested in, is based on that seminar. It's titled Stories of Faith and Hope, How God Brings Good Out of Suffering. And it includes testimonies from several people in the seminar. Several chapters are testimonies of how some people in the seminar dealt with, you know, a child's cancer, Hurricane Sandy, their own cancer, and you know, death of a child, sudden death of a child, different topics. So, yeah, the feedback that I get from people in the seminars is invaluable in helping to put these books together.
So, Steve, this book, Search No More, who is it intended for?
Okay, well, the first book, The Reality of God, is obviously intended for atheists and people who have doubts about the existence of God. The second book is aimed at people who believe in God, but they don't go to church. And so we have many people like that today who consider themselves spiritual but not religious, or they believe and don't belong. And it's also aimed at anyone exploring the truths of the Catholic faith, including those who were raised Catholic and now have questions about the faith of their childhood. And actually, most of the people that buy these books are committed Catholics, and many of them are given them as gifts to their children and grandchildren and friends. seed gifts to help bring, you know, this mm-hmm. point of view to their children and grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And for committed Catholics, the books, both of them, strengthen their faith and equip them to be able to share with others why we believe what we do, which, of course, that's what apologetics is. Mm-hmm. So
we're talking with Steve Hemler, author of the book Search No More, The Keys to Truth and Happiness. This is his second book. He's actually working on his third book. And when we come back, we got to take a break, Steve Hemler. But when we come back, I want to get into, is the content of this book consistent with the teachings of the Catholic Church? Stay with us, Steve, and everyone listening. We'll be right back with Steve Hemler on his latest book.
Throughout life, your manhood has been challenged. But since you outgrown the playground or the local bar, you might think those tests are over. Well, the Diocese of Lansing Men's Conference is testing it right now. Sign up for the Man Event, Saturday, February 23rd in Michigan Center near Jackson. Inside, you'll find a challenge from the dynamic deacon, Harold Burke Sivers, and great music from Brian Flynn. It's easy to enjoy the pig roast, but they dare you to attend Mass with Bishop Boyer. Go to themanevent.org and register today.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent agent. Get Choice Insurance Agency, representing auto owners insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. Call Greg at Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200, who will protect you in that moment. Call 734-641-4200.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
How do I handle difficult family members? When do I correct others? When do I hold my tongue? Too often, we're late in realizing that we mishandle a situation, causing both resentment and frustration. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. And in my new book, Thinking Like Jesus, I tackle these questions and more. Check it out and more of my books at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. We've been talking with Steve Hemler, author of the book Search No More, The Keys to Truth and Happiness. He's also the president of the Catholic Apologetics Institute of North America. And Steve, before we hit the break, I asked you, is the content of this book consistent with the teachings of the Catholic Church?
Absolutely. The first book, The Reality of God, has the imprimatur from Bishop Laverty, who has retired from the Diocese of Arlington, and he was replaced. And the new bishop does not do imprimaturs for anything other than textbooks, but it does have Search No More is published with ecclesiastical permission, and so it has been reviewed, and the content is fully acceptable. And basically, the interesting thing about this book is it, like I said, it draws people into the life of the Church. And the first part, The Keys to True Happiness, why aren't we happier? How does being a Christian bring true happiness? Why turn to God? And then we look in part two at the truth of Jesus. Is he truly God who really rose from the dead? And then part three is the hope of heaven. Not many books cover this. And in particular, there's a chapter on near-death experiences, how near-death experiences reveal the reality of heaven in an afterlife, the scholarly studies thousands of these near-death experiences. So this chapter is intended to help people realize that there really is a heaven and an afterlife, and maybe I need to take it seriously and, you know, consider what it takes to be saved, to go to heaven. And so then we look at why were Christ's passion and death needed for our salvation, and then how are we saved? What's the Catholic position on how we're saved? How do we accept that gift? And then part four looks at the community of the church. Why does the church still matter today? Why go to Mass? And then the final chapter is what's next, which talks a lot about how to get involved in your parish, RCIA, and things like that.
So the feedback in terms of near-death experiences and heaven and the afterlife are indeed real. What's been the reaction to that from people? I mean, sometimes it's a tough one for people, Steve.
A lot of times these reported events are anecdotal and there's no real evidence for that. But there are these studies that have been done, and Father Robert Spitzer talks a lot about this in his books and with the Magis Center as well. But these studies that provide this evidence for the validity of near-death experiences have revealed that there are many cases of observations that have been confirmed when the person is unconscious or during clinical death. And a classic one is that there was this Maria was brought into a hospital unconscious, and they brought her back, and when she came back to consciousness, she flatlined, and she said that, oh, by the way, on the fifth floor on the window on the opposite side of this hospital is a shoe on the ledge with the shoelace tucked under the toe of the shoe. And they're stunned. And so they went up there, and lo and behold, that shoe was there, as she said. And she had never been to this hospital before. And so this is a classic example of people that are dead, the flatlined, that report observations that are later confirmed, you know, because they left their body and saw this. And another thing is that blind people see during near-death experiences, many of them. And this is the first time they've ever seen color and things and are quite stunned that they can see when they're dead. And then there's cases of meeting previously unknown deceased relatives that they didn't know they had, and they met them, you know, in the tunnel or whatever. And another event that's occurring is what's called shared death experiences or empathic death experiences. And that's where someone in the room with the person who is having a near-death experience and has left their body also experiences something similar, a spouse or child. And then, of course, there's the dramatically transformed lives of people who have had a near-death experience that many of them do, of course, end up going to church and taking religion and faith much more seriously as a result of this and have far less fear of death. So the point of going through these studies, these scholarly studies, is to show how these near-death experiences do in fact confirm the reality of heaven and afterlife, and like I said, it's something that we should take seriously. How are we saved?
So Steve, tell us about the keys in the subtitle of this book refers to the keys to truth and happiness. Tell us about that.
Yes, that is referring to Jesus' words to St. Peter when he said to Peter, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So the keys that Jesus gave to Peter and all of the succeeding popes through apostolic succession and the bishops are where we find true happiness. So that the keys to truth and happiness are in Jesus' words to Peter, and we find that happiness in Jesus and in the church.
How would you summarize the whole book for our listeners this morning, Steve, in terms of what are you hoping that they will get out of this book?
Well, if it's a person who's already committed to the faith, it should strengthen their faith and enable them to better explain to others why we go to church, how we know Jesus is the Son of God. And for many of them, they, like I said, they will give it as a gift to their children and grandchildren to try and encourage them to come in, you know, Mass again, go back to start going to Mass. And it has to do with what Cardinal Timothy Dolan declared when he was president of the USCCB. He said that the number one pastoral problem we as Catholics confront today is that more and more people do not see the intrinsic and necessary connection between Jesus and his church. So many people believe in God and may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but don't go to church. And so this book is attempting to help rectify this situation by leading people into the fullness of the faith that we so much love and enjoy.
Okay, so I have a couple minutes left here with you, Steve, and I want to ask you, because of, in light of everything that's going on with the Catholic Church and the clerical sexual abuse and the cover-up scandal, why should anybody consider being Catholic today?
Because even though this has these scandals are very tragic and terrible and have damaged the credibility of the Catholic Church's witness, it doesn't negate the wisdom or truth of the Church's divinely inspired teachings or prevent us from finding true happiness and joy in her service-oriented community and sacramental graces. Many, many people throughout 20 centuries have found this, as I'm sure you and others have. So when we find failures in the leadership of the Church, that only indicates that the Church is human, filled with imperfect people. It's not a haven for saints, but a hospital for sinners. And so we all need that help and healing that the Church can offer us and find that happiness and fulfillment that we're looking for in life.
Okay, seconds
and
with
I'd
you
also
left.
Like to...
Go ahead. I want to see how to get the book, but go ahead. We have about 30 seconds left.
Okay, the book is available at Catholic bookstores, on Amazon, from Tan Books, and you can also go to the website of the Catholic Apologetics Institute of North America. There are links there. That is canaweb.org, CAINAWEB.org. And there's more information on these presentations that I give and those articles and videos links.
Thanks, Steve. We've got to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us. The author of Search No More, The Keys to Truth and Happiness. Stay with us. Vinnie Flynn's joining us up next.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Vanessa Don Hagarmo filling in for Teresa Tamia. Well, noted Catholic author Vinnie Flynn and his daughter Erin have designed what is destined to become a much-loved companion volume for Mass and Adoration. To talk with us about that is Vinnie Flynn. Vinnie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Vanessa. Glad to be with you.
introduction of the book, you mentioned that you and your daughter, Erin, didn't put the book together primarily for the reader. What did you mean by that? Who did you put the book together for?
Well, initially we put it together for ourselves. We've been talking about the old missals that used to have, the fact that people used to have daily missals that they would carry with them, and Sunday missals. Some people still do. But I remember before Vatican II, from the time I had my first communion, I would have this prayer book that I carried with me all the time, and it had beautiful prayers, especially some prayers before Mass started, and a lot of prayers in preparation for communion, and some beautiful prayers for the time when you've just received, for after communion and Thanksgiving period, and also some adoration prayers. So we were trying to put together prayers for ourselves that would be meaningful for us to have, and then it kind of grew from that into, well, other people might like this too. Let's do a real book.
And that's wonderful as a companion book too on the Mass and adoration. We all can use guidance in that to really get the most out of those experiences. And in the book, you also talk about Saint Faustina. How has she influenced your prayer life and overall the book, and including her in this book?
The other thing that I was most anxious to do was to come up with prayers that were not just words to recite, but prayers that really helped me open my heart to a person-to-person relationship with the Lord. And I have been influenced in my own personal life by Faustina. Saint Faustina, she was Polish, which is a very formal language in a sense. There's you wouldn't even refer to your father as dad or father. You'd say, "Does my father want me to do this?" So it was very much like some of the other cultures, like in Spanish culture, for instance, there's a formal language and informal language, and it's very precise. And so, but Faustina had this intimate way of talking to God, and she even got in trouble with the other sisters in the community that said, who do you think you are to talk to God that way? But she knew that she was his daughter. He loved her, and so it was more like what we read in the scriptures where St. Paul says we learn to call God Abba, not just Father, but Daddy. So what we were looking for is personal prayers that would help us to really develop our own one-on-one relationship with the Lord.
And I love that approach, Vinny, because it's not a one-size-fits-all. People often ask, how do I pray? And this will help guide them in terms of figuring out what is that prayer, what is that relationship they have with God, what does that look like compared to mine may be a little different, and that prayer may be a little different. I know in the book that the Mass and Adoration Companion, you combine traditional and contemporary prayers, and there's so many beautiful prayers. How did you and Erin go about picking the prayers that you would include, and was that a challenge for you?
Oh, yeah, it was really, one of the challenges was this, we wanted to get some of the most beautiful prayers, find the original prayers, and then update them if they needed, or excerpt pieces from them. And what we found is, for instance, if we were looking, we found a prayer from, in preparation for communion by, let's say, St. Ambrose. And we find that, like, there's 20 different versions out there. And they all say they're the ones that he wrote, but we couldn't find the original sources. So it was a real challenge to get to the original sources of those older prayers. We even at times translated them ourselves from Latin originals, or in a few cases from Spanish originals, just to find out what the original prayer was. And then we just kind of adapted the prayer to make it even more personal, or to take the most personal parts of it, so that, again, we could present a prayer that would really help people draw closer to the Lord in this one-on-one relationship.
What about the contemporary prayers? Where did they come from?
Well, some of them came from contemporary people, like Father Ben Grischel, other people, Mother Teresa, and some of them I wrote myself. Some of them Erin wrote. The ones I wrote were mostly based on teachings of the popes or the catechism, where I would take something that to me just was a powerful, powerful teaching, and I would just adapt that into a little prayer that would allow people to express it in a prayer form. Erin wrote these beautiful, mystical prayer poems that's just a woman's cry to the Lord. It is very personal. I cry every time I read them.
That's beautiful. Do you inspire? Do you think that that exercise, Vinny, would inspire people to start writing maybe their own prayers?
I hope so. And we have spaces because we want people to make this their own book, as you were saying, to give each person, every person's different, so that we include a whole bunch of prayers, but hoping that people would choose the ones they want, even underline them, circle them, or we have spaces. Extra blank pages after each section so that people could write in their own prayers, paste in their own prayer cards, whatever, so that they could really find the most meaningful prayers for themselves.
Is that why you refer to the readers as the real editors of the book?
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are reluctant, oh, I don't want to write in this book. Yeah, write in it. Scribble in it. Underline, circle. I have parts where I just circle even a particular phrase in a prayer that speaks mostly to me. And if I only have a couple of minutes, I can glance at that and say, yeah, and I'll offer that mm-hmm. in prayer.
Mm-hmm. What a great exercise, too, and maybe starting with your family, like getting your kids together and maybe coming up with their own prayers. And start young, too. What a great opportunity to share with your kids
Absolutely.
How to build a relationship.
Absolutely.
You also mentioned St. Therese in the introduction. How did her view of prayer help you put together this collection?
It kind of goes hand in hand with the personal kind of intimate conversation from Faustina. Very similar, but Therese defined prayer as a surge of the heart toward God. And, you know, it's so easy for us to get caught in just reciting prayers, even beautiful prayers, and we get used to them and they become like rote. And I've recited so many prayers, read so many prayers, and my mind was somewhere else. Prayer is, even the old Baltimore Catechism says prayer is lifting the mind and heart to God. So when I think about Therese and that whole concept of heart surge, I mean, one of Aaron's prayers, for instance, she just talks about sitting in adoration and all the people she loves are in her heart, so she's just going to let her heart bring them to the Lord. Just wordless, just bring them to the Lord as she sits there in adoration. They sit with her in her heart.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's beautiful, powerful. And that kind of reminds me of Pope Francis just said the other day about the importance of praying, and there's no I in the Our Father, that when we go to prayer, we should be thinking about the people in our lives and be praying for them. So you kind of reminded me of that message he had this past Wednesday.
Absolutely.
And how to pray.
Absolutely.
Most parishes, and you mentioned, Vinny, the missalettes that, you know, are
right.
used during Mass and the ones that were before Vatican II. How does the Mass and Adoration Companion that you and Aaron put together compare to those?
It doesn't list all the Mass readings, so as you don't follow through every piece of the Mass, there are a couple of places where there's little prayers suggested for different parts of the Mass. But the main thing is it has the same kind of prayers before Mass, before Communion, and especially after Communion, but there's a whole lot more of them. So people can select the prayers that are most meaningful for them to say just before they receive, right after they receive, just before they leave the church. It's just got a whole bunch of prayers for that purpose. And then there's a whole different section just for any time you're at home praying or you're in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament praying.
Mm-hmm. So you did divide this book up in several sections as you were just talking about the sections. What do you feel is the most valuable for the average person, and what section is your favorite?
I guess my favorite would have to be either Thanksgiving or Adoration. But Thanksgiving time, it's kind of been lost in the church to a large extent. If you read some of the saints, they talk about the fact that from the moment you receive, that time after you receive is just the most beautiful, sublime time. Don't rush off. And, mm-hmm. and I think we've kind of forgotten that. Well, one thing that actually bothers me a lot is when, you know, I hear the music minister announce, okay, now please join us in singing such and such a song. Well, wait a minute. I just received the Lord Jesus into my being, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He's living in me right now. Can you let me talk with him for a few minutes quietly? Can I have my little silent time
yeah.
with him? Who's
I
living?
Feel the same way. I really do, Vinny. I just, after communion, I don't want to hear music. I just want silence.
Yeah. Or gentle, quiet music that'll
yeah.
help me in my
yeah.
conversations with the Lord. But
yeah.
don't ask me to just sing along.
Sing.
You know, it's, you know, we need to spend time with the Lord who just made himself available to us in the most intimate way imaginable.
Yeah.
You know, don't take my mind off that. Let me just be with him.
You know, Vinny, and I was always told, too, and I tell my daughter this, the 15 minutes after taking communion is the most powerful time you'll have with Christ because he's in you for that time. And
absolutely.
You know, just meditate 15 minutes after that and just really focus on prayer. Mass and Adoration Companion is designed to help you develop your own way of conversing with God, and so that adoration, other prayer times will become completely centered on loving and personal gifts of presence of God. And we're talking with Vinny Flynn, who co-wrote the book with his daughter, Erin. And several prayers were written, like you talked about, Vinny, by you or by Erin. So, like, how did you categorize them and differentiate them between you and Erin?
I guess mine are a little more teaching-oriented, and hers are a little more mystical. Like, I'll take, for instance, Pope John Paul said that Mary, when Mary said her fiat, that's the same as the amen we say at communion. She was the first one asked to believe that Christ took flesh in her, wanted to take flesh in her. Do I believe that? So he said that there's a profound relationship between the amen we say and the fiat she said. We should be saying, yes, fiat, let it be done to me. Take mm-hmm. flesh in me. Mm-hmm. And so I turned that into a prayer that I called the fiat amen prayer just before and after receiving communion. Whereas Erin just lets her heart kind of gush to the Lord to unite herself with him. And it's just, it's a contagious kind of love for the Lord when you read and say these prayers.
Mm-hmm. And guiding you to just kind of find your way to say your prayer. I think it's so beautiful.
Exactly.
Vinny, the book itself, the physical book itself, is very pretty. It's the soft leather type of cover, the quality, the binding, the ribbon, the gilded pages, the classic interior design. Did you design this for a particular audience? I mean, what prompted this beautiful deluxe edition of a book that we don't typically see anymore?
When we initially did it, we hadn't even thought about design, and then when we started talking to Tan Books, we wanted it to be a lifetime thing. The more we thought about, we wanted something people could, the size, so people could carry it with them, that they would even, just feeling the book, it would give them a good feeling, just holding it, and we wanted them not, we didn't want it as a throwaway thing. It's not a book you're going to read once and set aside. Mm. It's something you can carry with you, make it your own. So we wanted the binding to be lasting, and we wanted to have a good feel and a good appearance. So, and they agreed. They just wanted it as this deluxe gift edition, and they felt that once people see this, they're going to want it for themselves and also for their friends as gifts, their families. The first thing I did was give it to all my kids and grandkids.
It's a great gift. It's a great gift. How do we get the book?
Almost anywhere. I mean, Tan Books, at their website, tanbooks.com. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at vinnyflynn.com. Most Catholic bookstores and gift shops. It's out there. And hopefully we can get into the hands of a lot of people and help people just deepen their own relationship with the Lord.
Thank you, Vinny Flynn, for joining us again. Mass and Adoration Companion. You can go to Tan Books to find it. Thank you for joining us here on Catholic Connection.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
When Joseph Ratzinger was elected Pope in 2005, he opened a path of purification for the Church. He still called upon the Western world to return to its Christian roots and to build a new humanism for the 21st century. We're going to look at his vision of the Church with Father Joseph Fessio, who studied under Joseph Ratzinger.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life.
In an abortion, a doctor is paid to kill a child in the womb. So what if that procedure fails to kill the child and the baby is born alive? Often, the abortionist kills the child anyway, outside the womb. And that's why Congress has introduced a bill to protect those children. Actually, such a law was already enacted in 2002, but it has no penalties. Now, many in Congress want to add those penalties. There are also state laws that can do the same. But on the state and federal level, many lawmakers even oppose protecting the baby who is already born. Why? Because of their allegiance to the abortion industry, which gets paid to produce a dead baby. And much of that money goes back to elect those politicians. It's time to expose the truth.
This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
You have been listening to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garamo here. Been filling in for Teresa Tomeo today. I will be not in tomorrow. Sherry Brownrigg will be in with you tomorrow. Teresa, as you know, is in the Holy Land with Steve Ray. I'll be back on Thursday and Friday, and hopefully Teresa and Steve will be able to join us to give us an update. She said she might be able to on Thursday or Friday to give us an update on her pilgrimage and what's been going on there, and I would love to chat with her and catch up with her. But regardless, we'll have two great shows on Thursday and Friday and a wonderful show, I'm sure, with Sherry Brownrigg tomorrow. And all the guests that I have interviewed today, like I said, are on my communications evangelist, Vanessa Denha-Garamo Facebook page. You can like it and then read more about all the guests that we had on this morning. Again, it's been a pleasure being with you all here on Catholic Connection. I look forward to chatting with you all on Thursday and Friday. Have a blessed Tuesday.
Been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.